So we'll start on page 1, we read the invocation mantras together. Om Agyantamirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamaya Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juka Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunath Pandritam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Sri Jana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandho Chagatpate Gopesha Gopika Tanta Radha Tanta Namostute Submissive inquiries. Sevaya.
Sevaya.
By the rendering of service.
By the rendering of service.
Upadekshanti.
Upadekshanti.
They will initiate.
They will initiate.
Te.
Te.
You.
You.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Into knowledge.
Into knowledge.
Jnanina.
Jnanina.
The self-realized.
The self-realized.
Tattva.
Tattva.
Of the truth.
Of the truth.
Darshinaha.
Darshinaha.
Seers.
Seers.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide, by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Please repeat. Thus
just try to learn the truth
no,
by...
No. I know you do. You know how we do it. Just try to learn the truth.
Just try to learn the truth.
By approaching a spiritual master.
By approaching a spiritual master.
Inquire from him submissively.
Inquire from him submissively.
And render service unto him.
And render service unto him.
The self-realized souls.
The self-realized souls.
Can impart knowledge unto you.
Can impart knowledge unto you.
Because they have seen the truth.
Because they have seen the truth.
Prabhupada report. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Sanjini pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam kaninastattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. This is all the verses of the Bhagavad Gita are important, but this is one of the key verses that we study, and most of the devotees know it by heart. Because it's such a central point in our philosophy. It's like Prabhupada, when he came to this country in 1966, the young men and women of that time were doing all kinds of things, and they were reading this guru and that guru and Buddhism and Zen and this and that, and they were just looking all around, and they were sincere to search for something more than what they were taught in school and by their parents. They're like, there must be something more than this to life. And so they were searching, we were searching, as people still are today, everyone is still today. And so when Prabhupada came and sat and people became attracted to him and started listening to him, he described what a spiritual master is. And he didn't say, in the very beginning, he didn't say, and I am that spiritual master. He was, but he didn't come out and say that I'm that spiritual master, but he let them come to the conclusion by studying the Bhagavad Gita and hearing Prabhupada's talks, that everything that he spoke about in relationship to a pure devotee, a bona fide spiritual master, that was him. And within a very short time, they became the first disciples of Prabhupada. They became really, really serious. And within a few weeks, Prabhupada gave the first initiation ceremony, and 10 or 12 young men and boys and girls, some younger than you, took initiation. It was a very serious thing. They took initiation and they followed Prabhupada and very submissively, and they offered obeisances to him. It's like when we, in India, you may be pretty familiar with people bowing down, offering obeisances to a saintly person or in the temple. But this is not known in, or wasn't, this is still today, it wasn't known in America that you would. I never saw anybody, I was 18 years old when I started coming to the temple, I never saw anybody bow down on the floor. Even in church, I mean, the Catholics, they have a little kneeling stool and they kneel down in the pew. That's showing a little bit of submission, but or humbleness. But I never saw anybody like just bow down on the floor, flat out. And so when I came to the temple first time, I was surprised. I was like, man, this is different. I never saw this before. Well, I knew it was like a really, I knew this must be like a really serious thing. So these people are taking it like so seriously, and they're just like me. They're just young boys and girls. They're just like me, except they dress differently. They shave their heads, which was a big thing. Everybody was shaved and wearing dhotis and saris and. In those days. So that's so to offer obeisances, that's a very important thing. You have to, because the whole idea of coming back to spiritual life, we leave the reason for our leaving the spiritual world in the first place is that we don't want to be submissive to Krishna anymore. We're rebellious against God. We don't want to be submissive anymore. Prabhupada says that the jiva soul, the fallen soul in this world, we come to this world because in the spiritual world we thought everyone is offering obeisances, bowing down to Krishna and serving Krishna in the spiritual world. And we thought, well, why everyone serving Krishna? Why shouldn't they serve me? I'm as good as Krishna. That's our mentality. That's what brings us to the material world. The mentality of, I don't want to serve Krishna, I want to be God. I want to be the one to be served. And everyone in this world wants someone to serve them. So a husband wants a wife to serve her, wife wants a husband to serve her, they want the kids to serve them, the kids want the parents to serve them. Mommy, give me this. Daddy, give me that. And everybody wants the president. You know, the politicians want the citizens to serve them. They can't get elected unless they promise to serve the citizens. Everybody wants someone to serve them. But the spiritual mentality, the devotional mentality, the mentality that can bring us back home, back to Godhead, is the mentality of, I don't want to be served, I want to serve Krishna. And I want to serve the devotees of Krishna. I want to specifically, and most importantly, beginning from my spiritual master, who is the representative of Krishna. So Krishna says here, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. So Krishna gives the process. He said, do it like this. If you want to understand me, if you want to understand the absolute truth, this is how you do it. You approach a spiritual master, my representative, in disciplic succession. Prabhupada says, makes an emphatic point of that in the purport, that no one can be a guru, a spiritual master, unless they come in disciplic succession. And you can't make up your own process and advertise, okay, now I'm guru, now I'm the spiritual master, you should listen to me, do what I tell you. You can't make up your own thing. Prabhupada quotes, Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Nowadays, it's a fashion for people to make some things up and say, this is religion. I made this religion. Like L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology. You familiar with Scientology at all? L. Ron Hubbard, of course, he is gone now. He left his body. We don't know where he is now. But he attracted many followers. And before he before he started Scientology, he was a science fiction book writer, fantasy book writer. And he wrote many, many books. He's he's an intelligent, prolific writer. And he said, if you really want to make a lot of money, you should start your own religion. And he did. So he said, this is Scientology, this is religion. And he's not the only one, it's everywhere, it's all over the place. And people start their own religion and say, you should follow me. I'm a self-realized soul. In the 60s, when Prabhupada came, there was Guru Maharaji. He was this young boy in India. And he came and he said, I'm a perfected being, I'm a self-realized soul. And he attracted many followers. And there was many Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Chinmoy and many, many, many. And there was Sun Yung Moon. Do you know Sun Yung, the Moonies? Anybody know the Moonies? You know the Moonies? You heard of the Moonies? It was big in the 60s and 70s. In the 80s, and this is Sun Yung Moon, he was from Korea, and he came and he attracted many, many followers, and he became very well known. In fact, people used to refer to the Hare Krishna people as Moonies, because not Moonies like M-U-N-I-S, but Moonies like they identified us with the Moonies. Followers of Sun Yung Moon. And his preaching was that I am the perfected reappearance of Jesus. I'm Jesus, but in a better appearance, manifestation. So, and he attracted many followers. He's completely made up, But he had some power to influence people's minds, and he became very, very popular. And Prabhupada said a funny thing about him. He said, I can understand how you Westerners are fooled by like yogis and gurus from India who come and put on a good show. They have a long beard and they sit in the lotus posture and they put on a good show. And he said, I can understand how you're fooled by them. But he said, this son, Reverend Moon, is very intelligent. He came from Korea, and he's fooling you in the name of your own religion. We grew up, you know, this is a Christian country, so-called Christian country. Everybody went to Christian churches here when they were kids. And he said, and so we didn't know anything about yoga, Vedanta, or anything like that from India, but we knew Christianity. And he said, well, he's very clever because he's using your own religion and fooling you. Anyway, the point is that so many people make up religions in Kali Yuga especially, and they attract some followers, they fool them, they take their money, they get some power, some influence, some followers, some money. Lord Chaitanya, in the picture in the middle there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his incarnation of Krishna, that appeared in Mayapur in Bengal about 500 years ago. And one of his prayers was, that he left was, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitan va jagadisha kamae, mama janmani janmani shvare, bhavatad bhakti rahoitu ki twai. Which means, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only, speaking to Krishna, I only want your pure devotional service, birth after birth. So everybody, every conditioned soul in the material world is mad about getting money. I gotta get money. It's like people think, oh, the Powerball is $300 million now. If only I could win $300 million. Or if only I could start my own company and sell out to Google for $2 billion and retire at the age of 28, I'd be happy. I'd have a Rolls Royce and a yacht and I'd be so happy. And so everybody's crazy about making money. And dhanam, janam, followers, everybody wants people to worship them or serve them or be their followers. And not necessarily that you call yourself their follower, but everybody wants someone to look up to them, to adore them, to follow them, to obey them. Everybody wants that. And sundarim, beautiful women. So what man wants beautiful women, woman wants beautiful man. It's the same thing. So everybody is crazy for that. Wealth, followers, and beautiful women. And Lord Chaitanya says the prayer of the pure devotional service is, I don't want wealth, I don't want beautiful women, I don't want followers. I only want your pure devotional service, birth after birth. He doesn't even ask for liberation. Of course, a devotee will be liberated and go back to Godhead. But a devotee doesn't even ask Krishna for liberation. Says, even if I have to take birth after birth in this material world, it doesn't matter if I'm born as a Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, in the devotee in our disciplic succession who wrote that song, Jaya Radha Madhava, and this song that we sing for the kirtan. And he wrote many songs and wrote many books. And in one of his songs, he said, it doesn't matter. I don't care if I'm born as an insect in the house of it, but I must be born in the house of a devotee. And so that if I'm not associating with devotees, I don't even want to take birth as Lord Brahma and be the controller of a universe. But I'll be happy if I'm an insect, but in the home of a devotee. So I don't want women, I don't want wealth, I don't want followers. I only want your pure devotional service, birth after birth. So that's the principle of devotional service. And as Krishna enunciates here, Krishna could have said, if you want to learn the truth, just stand on your head and and whistle your favorite song. And Krishna could say anything. He's God. He can give the process, whatever process he wants to realize him. But he says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So it's just like suppose I've been to Hawaii, and you've never been to Hawaii, and I tell you, Hawaii is really nice. It's really nice. It's sun and sand and surf, and it's so nice. And you should go there. And you might get enthused to go there because I tell you how nice it is, and I've been there, and I can speak very convincingly to you about it because I've seen it. And that's how people desire. Like somebody comes back from Rome and says, geez, I went to Rome. You got to go to Rome. And so a desire awakens in your heart. Oh, geez, I'd like to go to Rome. And so the spiritual master, the pure devotee, comes from Krishna, from the spiritual world, and he's seen the truth, and he says, and he tells us that you should go to Krishna in Krishna Loka. You should go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan in this world, near Delhi in India, is not different from Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual realm. It's also the eternal abode of Krishna. So the spiritual master comes. He said, "You've got to go to Vrindavan. You've got to go to the spiritual world. It's so nice there, and you'll be with Krishna, and you'll be happy." Eternally blissful, full of knowledge, and no more birth, death, old age, or disease. But you should do that. You should do it, and you should want to do that. And so Prabhupada came and he told everybody that. And because he was so pure, such a pure representative of Krishna, the young boys and girls, and older people too, but mostly it was the younger people, and they said, yeah, that sounds great. I want to do that. And Prabhupada, he's what he's talking about. He's a pure devotee. And I should follow him, and I should go back to Godhead. So the spiritual life is as simple as that. There's nothing complicated about it. The representative of Krishna, you have to know who is the bona fide representative of Krishna from the Shastras. And you have to, there are many people who pretend, I'm this, I'm that, I'm self-realized, I'm a pure soul, I'm liberated, I'll show you how to meditate and open your third eye and this, and so many things people will tell you. Raise your soul through your atma, through your chakras, and the chakra in the top of your head, and you'll see heavenly planets, and you can astral travel. And so many things they'll tell you. This one guy, I was preaching, I was doing a book table out at Copley Square a couple of months ago, and this guy came up to me. I had a book table there with Prabhupada's books on it, and I was playing a recording of Prabhupada chanting, and because just to hear the sound vibration from a pure devotee is liberating, is the beginning of this spiritual life. So I was playing the recording, and the books were there, and this guy comes up, and he's about my age, and he's looking at the books, and then he tells me, he says, yes, I've been meditating for 40 years now. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. So many people meditate these days and do yoga. I've been meditating for 40 years now. And I said, oh, that's good. And then he went away. And then he came back a couple minutes later. And he said, he said, hold your hand up like this to me. So I held my hand up like that. And he put his hand near mine, like an inch or two away from mine, like that. And he held it there for, I just held it there for like 30 seconds. And he held his hand there. And then he said, do you feel that? And I knew what he was talking about, like, do you feel my potency? Do you feel my spiritual energy? That's what he was getting at. And I knew that. But I didn't feel anything. And I said, no, I don't feel anything. If I had felt something, I would have told him, and he would have been happy. But I didn't feel anything, and he got like, frustrated, and he goes like, oh, well, you haven't meditated long enough, obviously. And he got frustrated and went away. So Prabhupada preached, he said, the transmission of knowledge from a guru to disciple is not like that. It's not like an electric charge. He talked about, who was it, Ramakrishna and Vivekananda? One was the spiritual master of the other, and I forget which was the spiritual master. But the one that was...
Vivekananda is the disciple.
The disciple. So Ramakrishna is the spiritual master. And they're not bhaktas, they're not devotees. They preach an impersonal conception of the absolute truth. And but Prabhupada said that Ramakrishna, he said that I touched Vivekananda and I passed out. Because I transferred all my spiritual potency into him, so I don't have it anymore. And so Prabhupada ridiculed that idea. Said that's not how it works between the spiritual master and the disciple. The spiritual master is the disciple is just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him. Submissively ask questions in a submissive way. Like if I ask you, if I come up to you and I ask you questions about something that you know about but I have no idea about, and I present myself in a humble way, in a submissive way, then you'll naturally be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll tell you about that. Yeah, I would like to. Thank you for asking. But if I come up to you and I'm like, you say you're a physicist. Well, tell me what you know about physics. I don't think you know much about physics. Then you'll be like, come on, get away from me. And because I'm asking a question, but it's not submissive. It's in a challenging spirit. And so submissive inquiry is required and rendering service to the spiritual master. That's the tradition. The guru, especially with the young boys, the brahmacharis in Gurukul, like the story of Krishna, when he was a young boy in Gurukul, and his spiritual master sent him and another little boy out to the woods one day to collect wood for the fire. So Krishna and Sudama was the other boy. And so Krishna and Sudama, they went out to the woods and to collect firewood on the order of the spiritual master. And but while they were out there, a huge storm came up. And it was raining and windy and torrential rain. And they couldn't find their way back to the ashram. They were cold and wet and in difficulty. And they're only little boys. They were only young boys, and they were frightened. And of course, Krishna is never frightened. But in the pastime, he plays the part of a little boy. So the spiritual master, they were out there all night, and they couldn't get back. And in the morning, their spiritual master came out with the other brahmins, the other little boys in the temple, in his ashram, and they went out to look for them, and they found them and brought them back. And the spiritual master praised Krishna and the other, and Sudama, saying, you two are very good, submissive young boys. You followed my order, my instructions, to do that, you deserve all my benediction, whatever benedictions I can give you, you deserve. So that's the process. Submissive inquiries and rendering humble service to the spiritual master. And then naturally the spiritual master will want to tell you everything. It's a natural relationship. It's like your father and mother, if you're a good little boy or a little girl, you grow up and they want to tell you everything. And so the spiritual master is like that. So submissive inquiry and rendering service. Okay, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Very important verse, very important principle. Okay, all glories.